Before reading the scripture, let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture this morning is from Luke, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
So you remember last week, Jesus was up on the mountaintop with Elijah and Moses, and he heard a message from God, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." But this passage happens before that. This is chapter 4, that was chapter 15 or 13. So now we're back earlier in the ministry. I explained to you last week, the lectionary sometimes doesn't follow the chronology of the actual book. So here we are at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the first line, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Do you remember what happened at the Jordan? Baptized. Jesus was baptized. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was baptized? That's right. The noon. I gotta stop that. The heavens opened up. Jesus was dipped into the water, pulled back up. The heavens opened, the clouds part. A dove descends, and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit comes and leads Jesus into the wilderness, where he stays for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't eat, probably doesn't sleep very well either, right? The desert, I would imagine the desert in the Middle East is hot during the day and cold at night. Plus, he's on the ground. He didn't pack a sleeping bag, right? It's uncomfortable. And he's there, and that's when the devil decides to come in and start his work. But Jesus is with the Holy Spirit the whole time, so he's not alone. And he's there, and the devil comes in. Now, just a minute to talk about the devil, right? This was a devil-haunted world that we're reading about. They believed any illness was caused by evil spirits. Epileptic, you're possessed. Psychotic episodes? You're possessed, right? It was always some kind of evil spirit that was making these things happen. Is there a supernatural entity called the devil who was besieging Jesus in the desert? Maybe, but I tend to think that his time in the desert was his own personal stuff going on. Because here, he's been to the River Jordan. He's heard this beautiful message that God loves him. And now he's in the desert, and what do I do with that? How do I respond to to a message like that. And so we have these three temptations. I'm sure there were more temptations. We could even say they were acts of tempering him, right? Helping him solidify his core to go into the ministry that God has called him to. The first one, you're very hungry, Jesus. There's a rock right there. You could turn that into bread and eat right now. Why not? I think that that, in the bigger picture, is Jesus wrestling with himself, discerning where he's going, and that, turn that stone into bread, is the message, just go home. Take care of yourself. You can. You're a carpenter. You were trained by Joseph. Go and start your business, get married, have a family. Don't worry about all this. Sure, God loves you, but God can still love you at home, having a nice, quiet life like you're supposed to. That's the temptation. That's real. Second temptation. All these kingdoms in the world, God loves you. You could rule all of these. I can give them to you because they're mine now. The world sways to my music now. The Roman Empire is in charge, pretty much, in this area anyway, and in most of the areas around here. They're not concerned with spiritual things. They just want to make sure that the roads are nice and paved, that everything is organized, that their taxes are paid, and they maintain their power. You can exist in that circle. All you have to do is acknowledge that I'm the one in charge. That's what worship is. The devil, Jesus' inner being, one of his temptations, temperings at this moment is, have your ministry, just make sure it stays within the lines of the empire. This is how we want things. If you do this, this, and this, very transactional, right? You do this, this, and this, stay within these lines. Remember that sermon you gave that time about render unto Caesar what is Caesar's? That's a good one. Preach that one. Keep up with that. Don't worry about all this other stuff about, you know, people who are oppressed. Nobody's oppressed here. You live in the Roman Empire. Keep within those lines. Do what I want you to do. And then you can be in a position of power. And then the third one, jump off the top of that building. He's suicidal. He doesn't know what to do. And he spends 40 days discerning what to do. If you go up on that tower and you jump, you're not going to die. God's not going to let you die. Your foot won't even hit the ground. Angels will come and scoop you up. We all know that's not true. Anybody want to try it? Climb up the top. No, right? Jesus is in this deep psychological state for 40 days in this desert because he's trying to discern how to respond to God's love for him. By the time we get to last week, right? By the time we get to the mountain where the transfiguration happens, Jesus knows where he's going, right? He has set his eyes towards Jerusalem. He knows where he's going, and it's not to jump off the temple. What does that mean for us today? For the next 5 weeks, for these 6 weeks of Lent, I'm going to be following an Adam Hamilton book. Do you know who Adam Hamilton is? He's a pastor of a big Methodist church in Kansas, and he's written a bunch of books. One of the books that he's written is called The Walk. That's what the sermon title is today. But that's going to be our scaffolding for the next 6 weeks for Lent, because in each of these chapters, he looks at a different spiritual practice. Spiritual practices help you solidify your core, hone yourselves, temper yourselves to be strong for the mission that God has called you to do. God has called each of us to do something in the world. According to Adam Hamilton in this book, I have no reason to doubt him, the first chapter is on worship and prayer. Worship, according to Evelyn Underhill, remember Evelyn Underhill? You do? Oh, good. We talked about her during the Mystics series. She wrote a lot about mystics. She was a British woman in the 1900s. But her definition of worship is our response to the Creator. This is how we respond to God's creation and by extension, love for us. So for the next 40 days, we will be looking at spiritual exercises in worship to help hone ourselves, temper ourselves for our mission in the world. I propose to you that Jesus, 40 days in the desert, that the Holy Spirit led him into, was a time of worship, where he was honed. He responded, right? The Holy Spirit gives this, the Creator gives this message that you are loved. The Holy Spirit comes and leads him into the desert, the wilderness, where he goes. And for 40 days, he goes through this process of honing to figure out what his mission is in the world. Is it to just know that he's loved and share that love with his family and have a nice, quiet, humble life at home? Is it to rise up within the system so that he can do whatever good work he can do within that system? Or is it to, or does he just not know what it is and it's too much and it's overbearing and I just can't take it and I'm jumping off the building, I'm out? No. It takes all that time. So we are going to take this time during this time of Lent to discern and to feel God's love for us and how we can respond to that love. I was talking to somebody the other day. What were they saying? It was I don't want to tell that story. Something that happens here in worship every week, you might notice that I say a lot of the same things over and over again. I call you beloveds all the time. Beloveds, because you are loved. I allow you an opportunity to respond. But I give you the opportunity to respond to sermons every Sunday because I'm encouraging you and I know that your thoughts are important. It's not just for me to sprinkle this good stuff down upon you, but you have good stuff too that you can share with me, right? We're in a relationship here. We are building, as it says on those back rows, we are building the beloved community here. And the one thing that we do every week since Advent, health guidelines willing, is we sit at that table every week. Because we come here because that is the message. That is God's voice saying to us, you are my beloved in whom I am well pleased. That's what that meal signifies. When we did our Bible study on the Last Supper narratives, remember, Gwen? We learned from Matthew and Mark, which are both very similar, that at the end of that Seder meal, you know what a Seder meal is, right? They celebrated the Passover. They remember the Passover when God delivers the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. And they do it every year. That's the meal that they were sitting at. It could have been any meal. Jesus had a lot of meals. The Bible tells us about a lot of meals. One of them had 5,000 people there. But this particular meal was a Seder meal. So they were in this mood of liberation. They were celebrating this liberation of their people from slavery in Egypt. The Hebrew calls it their release from the narrow place. That's the translation for the Nile, right? That area near the Nile. Egyptian civilization was centered around the Nile. The narrow place, right? Because the river and their coast there, because that's where the waters overflowed. That's where they would be able to do their planting. The narrow place. But it's a double meaning. The narrow place is also the narrow place. It's a release from this small-minded thinking to an expanded worldview that a loving God allows them to have. So that's the meal they're having. We celebrate the same meal in a way because this is our liberation meal. Jesus shows us by giving up everything. See, he winds up doing all the things he was tempted to do. He feeds people. He heals people. He takes some power in the world outside of the purview of the Roman Empire, and he dies. Does those three things, all to liberate us from the grip of sin, from the grip of society out in the world. And it is for us now, that's how we worship. One of the key elements of worship is to have that meal and think about what God did for us and how we, in turn, will respond out in the world. Amen.